Greetings, Fight fans, to this, your 11th episode of In the Squared Circle with Felipe León. I am Felipe León, international editor of FightNews.com, co-host of Boxeo Tijuana TV, and every other week here on Leave It In The Network, the co-host also of the 2-Minute Round, your hooks and jabs look into the world of female boxing, and also a somewhat regular host of Leave It In The Ring with David Duenas and Gabriel Montoya. First off, I would like to apologize for not being here last week. I was feeling a little bit under the weather. We got caught up with the flu, but now we're back to give you all the news and notes, your fight results, and your upcoming schedule in 15, 20, 25 minutes or less. That is the model. That is the goal of here in the Squared Circle with Felipe León. Going back to where you can find me, co-host of Boxeo Tijuana TV. Tijuana TV is a Spanish boxing show on YouTube. It's on every Tuesday live on our channel, Boxeo Tijuana channel, and it's Boxeo Tijuana channel every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Pacific time, with my co-host Renzo Novara and producer Leonzo Nunez. We will give you all the news and notes in Spanish regarding the world of boxing. You can call in on Skype, you can call in from Mexico or from the United States. It's all available for you. Every other week here on the Leave It In The Ring Network, we have the 2-Minute Round. We did our debut show last week where we had K2 Promotions' Tom Loeffler speaking about the fight card where the Triple G fight card with Dominic Wade on April 23rd in the Los Angeles Forum, where we're going to have two female fights on there, Cenice Estrada against Selena Lopez in a 6-rounder. We also have former WBO flyweight champion Kenny Enriquez facing Amaris Quintana in an 8-rounder. That's going to be on the Triple G undercard on April 23rd at the Forum in LA. And we had Tom Loeffler giving us all the particulars of that show on our first debut show of the 2-Minute Round, your show about all female boxing show here on the Leave It In The Ring Network. That's every other Thursday, with our next show being March 24th, live 6 p.m. Pacific. You could call in with your questions or comments. And it's going to be me, Felipe León, with my co-host David Avila and Liz Quevedo Parr. And lastly, you can find me on Twitter at SD Fights. Again, it's at Twitter at S as in Sam, D as in David, Fights as in the actual fights that we love to watch. With that said, we go to our first segment, the segment we like to call here Hooks and Jabs, where we give you the latest and the greatest news in the world of boxing. Well, this story came out last week when I was out sick, but it's something to touch upon. Jorge El Travieso Arce, considered the first four-time world champion in four divisions in Mexico, was actually caught up in a little bit of trouble at the end of February. Actually, it was February 27th when they had the fight between Leo Santa Cruz and Kiko Martinez at the Honda Center in Santa Ana, California. While here, allegedly, Travieso Arce was accused by a chambermaid at the hotel that he was staying of sexually assaulting her. He was arrested the next day on Sunday at dawn. And then he was released on March 1st after his brother, Panchito Arce, Francisco Pachito Arce, also a former fighter, posted a $25,000 bail. Travieso has stated that he is innocent, that the truth will come out in the pre-trial hearings. But here in Mexico, there is a number of tabloid magazines who actually got an interview with the young lady who accused Travieso Arce, and she has produced the pair of pants that she was wearing, which have, according to her, some of the Jorge Travieso Arce's DNA, because, as she claims, he forced her to perform oral sex, and some of his DNA landed on her pair of pants, and she says that she has those pair of pants, and she has produced them. So it's just a matter of time, I would suppose, where Travieso Arce would have to provide some DNA from his mouth, I hope, a swab or something, and then they could check it against what they found on those pair of pants, and then there we're going to have some answers. Not exactly stating that just because it matches, it doesn't, it means that he actually did it. Could have been consensual, but that's what's going to have to be decided in court and see where it goes from there. So Travieso Arce here in the United States in a bit of trouble, but they did allow him to come back in Mexico as long as he agreed to go back to the court dates. Another man, another former fighter who is also in a bit of trouble at the end of last week, former bantamweight and super bantamweight champion of Panama, Celestino Caballero, was arrested with 10 kilos of cocaine in his trunk. By the looks of the report, it looks like they were staking him out. They probably knew that he was involved in some kind of illicit behavior, and they ended up pulling him over and finding the illicit packs of cocaine in his trunk. He was arrested. He admitted that they were his, and now he will be charged with some kind of distribution and or smuggling. He at the time was working for the WBA. The WBA is actually based out of Panama, and he was working at the office. Not exactly sure what his duties, but he was working there, and the WBA has released a statement that as of right now, he's no longer connected with the WBA until they investigate this whole matter. So hopefully Celestino Caballero has some answers, but it doesn't look like he has much to say once he admitted that the kilos of cocaine were his. Over the weekend, we had a sparring session that was broadcast live on Facebook between Sean Porter, former IBF welterweight champion, and Leonardo Tyner. This fight was actually made they actually fought with in a regular sparring session with headgear and 16-ounce gloves. And the reason that this fight was even made and even broadcast in this manner is because Sean Porter, as you all know, was scheduled to face WBA welterweight champion Keith Thurman. But Keith Thurman suffered allegedly a car accident where he hurt his neck and he was not able to perform on March 12th. Sean Porter had gone through a full camp, didn't want the training to go without any results. So he ended up setting up this sparring session that was broadcast live on Facebook after the whole fight card, which also included Abner Mares against Fernando Montiel from Connecticut and was going to be broadcast live on CBS Network, was scratched. Now the fight has been rescheduled, the Sean Porter against Keith Thurman or Keith Thurman against Sean Porter for June 25th on Showtime, where in the semi-main event, Abner Mares will not be facing his original opponent, Fernando Cochulito Montiel, but actually Jesus Cuellar for the WBA featherweight title. Keep in mind that Mares is coming off a loss in his last fight last August. He lost to Leo Santa Cruz, so now he is getting a shot at another featherweight title, this time the WBA, even though he's coming off a loss. Montiel is pretty upset that he would not be facing Abner Mares, which would have been a good payday for him, and he has gone on record in Mexico stating that Abner Mares was scared of him. So perhaps if Abner Mares ends up winning the WBA featherweight title, he would take offense to what Montiel is saying and maybe defend that title against Fernando Montiel. So, you know, just put that in your pipe and smoke it. And this last week, Showtime released their upcoming schedule for the spring and summer on their channel after going on a bit of a drought. We haven't seen really any good fights from Showtime, and now they actually released a little bit of a schedule. In no particular order, we're going to have the aforementioned Thurman Porter fight on June 25th. There's also talks of a Santa Cruz Carl Frampton fight that they say it's going to be landing in Southern California, although they don't have a date for that yet. They're looking for maybe May 21st to be broadcast from Russia, but it's going to be on Showtime, the WBC heavyweight title fight between Deontay Wilder and his number one mandatory Alexander Povetkin. Povetkin's promoters in Russia actually won the purse bid for a lot of money. And I think it was like $7.1 million they won the purse bid. And now they're going to be doing the fight in Russia and broadcasting it on Showtime. April 30th, after Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. came out publicly stating that he had a problem with his left heel, that fight was scratched between him and WBC super middleweight champion Badu Jack. And now Badu Jack will be defending the title on the same date, April 30th, against Lucien Boutet of Canada. On April 9th, from England, Showtime will be broadcasting the heavyweight title fight, the IBF heavyweight title fight between Charles Martin, the champion, and Anthony Joshua. On April 16th, WBC featherweight champion Gary Russell will be taking on Patrick Hyland. And on June 11th, John Molina Jr. will be facing Ruslan Provonikov. So those are a pretty good batch of fights, except for that Gary Russell, Patrick Hyland fight. That doesn't sound too enticing. But other than that, that sounds like a pretty good run for Showtime. And they're giving HBO a run for their money, at least in the first third or the spring and the summer of the year, at least until June, and then we'll see what HBO and Showtime actually offers us after that. In quick notes, the president of the WBA, Gilberto Mendoza Sr., passed away this past weekend, leaving his son at the helm, which was, we knew that was going to happen, not that he was going to pass away, but that his son was going to take over once it was time. Marcos Maidana looking very healthy, north of 200 pounds in some recent photos that have come out of Argentina. And he will officially not retire, has not announced his retirement, but says he will return when he is ready, if he does return. And more than 10,000 tickets have been sold for the April 23rd show that I mentioned earlier, where Gennady Golovkin will be defending his IBF middleweight title against number one contender Dominic Wade, and where Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez, the WBC flyweight champion, will be defending his title against Puerto Rican McWilliam Arroyo. 10,000 tickets have been sold for that fight card scheduled for April 23rd from the Forum in Los Angeles and broadcast live on HBO. So there isn't that many tickets left. So if you want to attend that mega event, I suggest you go to Ticketmaster right away. Now coming up next, we have your fight results from this last week. Not a lot of action, but there is some action. So let's go ahead and give you those results. On Friday, March 11th, from Edmonton, Canada, we had a rematch from last August between former featherweight champion Jelena Miranovic, where she recaptured her WBC featherweight title and then picked up the WBA title with the unanimous decision over Soledad Matisse, the sister of Lucas Matisse. Matisse was down in the 10th round, and the scores were 97-92 and 96-93 twice. A little bit of a controversial scoring. A lot of people saw Matisse win. I believe I watched the fight. I think Matisse did very well in the first half, but Miranovic closed the show in the second half, and then with that knockdown making the difference. So now Jelena Miranovic of Canada recaptures her WBC featherweight title and adds the WBA title to her collection. On Saturday, March 12th, from Germany, reigning WBA light heavyweight champion Jürgen Bremer defended his title via unanimous decision versus feather German. Actually, he's from Kazakhstan but lives in Germany, Eduard Gutknecht. Scores were 118-110 and 116-111 times two or twice from two judges. Also on the same day, Saturday, March 12th, from Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, WBC super flyweight champion Zulina La Loba Muñoz defeated Ireland's Christina McMahon versus via a unanimous decision. Same night, Miguel Berchel stops George Jupp to capture the interim WBO super featherweight title. This fight happened in the last week after Roman Rocky Martinez allegedly hurt his hand and did not go defend the title that he won some time ago. Sanford Promotions of Mexico, actually here of Tijuana, actually won the purse bid for that fight. PR's Best Boxing, if you remember, that's Rocky Martinez's promoter, actually had an issue with Miguel Berchel being the number one mandatory. They tried to go to court. It was denied. They had to defend. And in the last, it was actually a Friday before the fight, they actually came out and said that Rocky Martinez hurt his hand. Actually, not the Friday before, the Saturday, but a week before. They came out and said he hurt his hand and he was not going to be able to defend. So they got this George Jupp from from England as a late sub. He was ranked number 6 by the WBO at 130 pounds. He ended up getting stopped by the Mexican Miguel Berchet in 6. And now Miguel Berchet is the interim WBO super featherweight champion. And I'm sure he is looking for to go for that full-fledged title and look for a fight against Roman Rocky Martinez. Let's see if they make that happen. Same night from Liverpool, England, Terry Flanagan defended his WBO lightweight title with a 12-round unanimous decision over Derrick Matthews. This seems to be like, this was a huge event. This was the event where Guillermo Rigondeaux was going to fight Jazza Dickens, but he ended up not being able to get a visa to enter England from his camp in Russia. So that fight was scrapped last minute, but still there was huge action in Liverpool with Paul Butler capturing the vacant WBO International Super Flyweight title over Sebastian Sanchez with a 9th round knockout. Tommy Langford defended his WBO Intercontinental Middleweight title with a unanimous decision over Lewis Taylor. And Zolani Tete defeated Jose Santos Gonzalez with the 7th round technical knockout to capture the vacant IBF bantamweight title. And on Unimas, the only fight worth mentioning here in the United States this last weekend, from Burbank, California, Top Rank presented Casey Ramos, won a technical decision after an accidental cut over Jonathan Perez in eight rounds in a scheduled 10-rounder at lightweight. And then Mariel Mariaga, the Colombian, won a unanimous decision against Adonis Agüelo in an 8-rounder. Scores there were 79-73 and 77-75 two times. And again, for the second week in a row, we don't have a lot of action. We actually have less action than last week in our upcoming calendar. There's actually one fight card worth mentioning that's going to be broadcast in the United States. So with that said, let's go to our upcoming calendar, the last segment of this show, In the Squared Circle with Felipe León. And the only fight worth mentioning for this upcoming weekend, it's going to be televised on Unimas from Houston, Texas at the Arena Theater, Saturday, March 19th. We're going to have former lightweight champion Juan Baby Bull Diaz taking on Fernando Cuervito Garcia of Tijuana in a lightweight 10-rounder. Fernando Garcia is actually a little bit of a veteran here. He's not that old. He's like in his mid-20s, but he's been fighting for a long, long time. Pretty good fighter. I think he's going to give Juan Diaz a little bit of run of his money. So that's going to be a pretty good fight. And then also in the same main event, we have the return of Mile High Mike Alvarado taking on Saul Corral in a welterweight 8-rounder. And that is your fight card. We got nothing on HBO. We have nothing on Showtime. And by the looks of it, we have nothing from the PBC. So this is the only lone fight card here in the United States. We have a couple things in Latin America, but none of you guys are interested in that. So with that said, we have reached the end of this, your show, In the Squared Circle, where we give you your news and notes, your fight results, and your upcoming calendar in 30 minutes or less. Actually, in the last 4, 5, 6 shows, we've been doing it in 20 minutes or less. So we have reached the end. Just let me give you the quick rundown of the Leave It in the Ring Network. Mondays, we have the next round with Steve Kim and Gabriel Montoya at 4 p.m. Pacific time, where they give you all the news and notes from the past weekend. You also could call in and give your opinion. Great show. One of the premier shows, one of the premier boxing podcasts in the boxing world. Mondays, the next round with Steve Kim and Gabriel Montoya. On Tuesdays, you have yours truly, In the Square Circle with Felipe León. Like I mentioned, your news and notes in 30 minutes or less every Tuesday at noon. Wednesdays, we have the flagship show for here, Living in the Ring Network, with David Duenas and Gabriel Montoya and a rotating cast of co-hosts, including myself. Every third Wednesday, we are here at Leave It in the Ring, the flagship show. That's at 6 p.m. Pacific time on Wednesdays. Every other Thursday, we have the two-minute round with our debut show last week, where we had Tom Loeffler talking about the upcoming Triple G show and the female boxing matches that are set up for that fight card. The two-minute round is your hooks and jabs on the female fight world with myself and my co-hosts David Avila and Liz Quevedo Parr. That's every 2 weeks. The next show is going to be March 24th at 6 p.m. Pacific time. You could give us a call and give us your questions, comments, and just talk female boxing. And Fridays, I finally got the name and the information, the Full Press Court. It's a basketball podcast that we feature here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. And it's with R. and Fresh, talking all things basketball. And that, we have reached the conclusion of this 11th episode of In the Square Circle. Hopefully you enjoyed it like I did. We'll see you next time. Yeah, just forget the winds. It's the next to use. Won't you follow me into the jungle? In the city of lights. In the back street battles in the knee.